This is a session with Chad, being recorded on July 29th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:45 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Ion.
Hey.
Okay, so, last time we talked, you recommended that I get a better rate for the Maybank than the one I was looking at, which was the year divided by the number of days. So I called Maybank, and they gave me what they call a fixed deposit. They don't even know what a CD is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been using that rate, and I'm still...
Well, a fixed deposit is a certificate of deposit, but... At Maybank, they don't actually issue a certificate. That's why they don't know it is that. They call it, it's a type of demand account.
Okay.
They're fixed as a demand account.
Right. So I went back and worked with some earlier currency values. So I went back a couple days, and I did a one-day triangulation so that I had past values to verify with. And using the new Maybank value that I have, I was still coming off considerably. So
up or down? Look at where you are, because you knew what the new rate. You see, you know the answer. So now you're just working out the details. So go exactly where, how far you were off, because that may help you see where you're querying your figures.
Well, yeah, I'm coming out low, so I'm triangulating a value that's considerably lower than the actual.
Considerably lower by a dollar or by 50 cent or $100?
So like on the euro slash Canadian, which was valued at 141.807, I was off, I was low by 0.375, so 37 and a half cents.
No, 0.3, yeah. So you were coming in at like a buck three or something, buck five.
Yeah, about that.
Okay, okay. So, if you pull, what were your other 3 points? Other two.
The one below. So the B value was the it was 0.700030, and the C was 1.59836.
Okay. So, if you, okay. Now, look at your x-axis. Did you see where it marked?
Yep.
And how much did your x-axis increase? Your new x-axis.
The new x-axis increased by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 0.95, roughly 0.95.
So apparently that X, that new horizon, is low. Okay, so then therefore look at your amplitudes. Were they the same or were they different?
My amplitude's the same relative to what?
A, B, and C.
The amplitudes were, each one had a different amplitude.
Okay, so good, because you got your angles, and when you found your center of your triangle, and then when you removed the right justification, the center moved, so each line segment was a different line, correct?
The center moved? Center of the triangle would move?
Well, you find the center of the triangle, but it's right justified. And when you take that away, okay, if you left it where it was as the center, each line segment would have been the same length. Then all your amplitudes would have been the same. And we'd say that's not right. But if you right justify, find the center of the triangle, and then when you readjust your ratio, that's where your line segments would be different, wouldn't it?
Well, I only find the center of one triangle. It's not a right angle triangle. I'm finding the center of the oblique triangle that's the true one of the A, B, and C connected.
Good. So you're doing it like they would do a seismic center or an epicenter.
Right, epicenter.
Good. Okay, then that's correct. Very good. And you're finding each amplitude was individual.
Each amplitude was individual, yeah. They didn't have equal amplitudes.
Fabulous. That's good. So apparently you're off on your X. Okay. So now that has to do not with ratio, because your ratio is right. So we got to look at your perspective. Your value for C, you began your minus sine minus cosine for C at the minus cosine would start one block to the right of C, that vibration would, correct?
It's the differential between the sine and negative sine and negative cosine is worth 90 degrees. So that 90 degrees is 1/4 of the entire cycle of that wave that I calculated.
Right, but all we're saying is that wave starts at minus 1 or 1, doing a minus cosine of that wave. Maybe that's where you're cross.
Okay, so the sine starts right at the point.
Correct.
And then it goes up and it moves towards the left. And then the negative sign would be again after the point.
Well, but now wait a minute now. You're doing minus sine cosine, so wouldn't you start your cosine at one point to the right of your C?
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, we were checking you. That's what we're trying to get your X straightened out. Okay, so if that's the case, then that would be correct. All right. Now, you did your calculations. So your multiplier, look at exactly how much you're actually off from your actual day trading and your value you achieved. And that'll tell you exactly how far you're off to know exactly where to find your pinpoint. Because, see, I think your ratio is okay, but you're calculating, you had tons of decimals. Are you moving all those decimals out so you have whole blocks to gauge from?
Okay, for example, on my blocks, if I have my value is like 1.41, I move a decimal over and go so that instead of 1.4, it would be 14 blocks.
Yeah, but, okay, so then how are you plotting the one, you see, the difference or the rest of the decimals, are you accurate in plotting those precisely?
As precise as I can get with my
a
ruler.
Then there's your perspective. There's your perspective, because that amount of vibrational shift would land you high or low by a third almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'd say, see, look how far you are off. It was in the hundredths, the tenths and the hundredths off, and
yep.
That would be the equivalent of where your decimals are. It's a guesstimation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that gives you a guesstimation of where you are. But now it is, you're not off by a third, but you start applying vibration to a guesstimation. And you're right, it can land all over the place. And that's especially true when you start applying it to your C value. So from that aspect then, you would really look closely at your C. So your X axis in this particular triangulation, was it the peaks, the troughs, or well of course if you went up, how many did you say, 0.9?
Yeah, about 9.
Then it would have been in the peaks.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And you had exactly how many intersection points inside the triangle in your C value?
Intersections inside the triangle for C?
Yes. You move the x-axis based on the intersection points of C inside the triangle, and we asked exactly how many intersected inside the triangle of C that gave you
the
notion.
No, I didn't calculate that because I didn't think it mattered. I thought I just had to get where they where the intersections of...
It does matter. Yeah. Now, what you're going to find is that you're going to be closer to 3.9 when you pull it. And if you add 3.9 to your mark, where's your A2 value now?
If I add 3.9 to my mark of my new X, you mean?
Uh-huh. No. No, no. If your X was at 3.9 instead of 0.9, where would you land?
Okay, if my new X was at 3.9 instead of 9, I would be way high.
There you go. So there's your key. Remember we said if you don't have your X just exactly, you'd be way high or way low. So that's where you want to look at that. And that. But see, it's great because, see, Chad, because typically in your world, the way your mind works, which we adore, that you have a solution and they hand you a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because in your world, that's what you do. You reroute it, you rewrite it, you recalculate it. So this is perfect. You have the rudiment. Okay, you simplified it to where you could get a picture and make it work. You see, where B is 0, A is 10, and C is 10. You know where you've got equal values and blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
You have that. Okay, in play. Now you're getting into the perspective and ratios. Watch the preciseness of your decimal points. That'll make a difference. Okay? Because then if you moved all your decimals over and ran your full waves, you may find that you're exactly off by that much from where it falls inside the triangle or doesn't.
Okay.
That'll make your number divisible by a greater sum, which will get you closer to your A2 perspective.
Okay, two questions. First, so the X intersections inside the triangle, are you saying I just plot the intersections inside the triangle and then draw a horizontal line through them?
No, you plot the wave, peaks and troughs. Then you look at those and you see, you note, if more are intersecting in the peaks, okay, or if they are the same number of peaks and troughs, which is very possible. I mean, it depends on your wave, but it is very possible that you'd have the same number of intersecting peaks and troughs. Then you would divide the space between those, and that would be your x-axis, and you'd say, well, Ion, that means that my x-axis would stay where it is, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But if it intersects more in the triangle from the peaks, then that's your new x-axis, if your perspective is exact.
Okay. See, the thing is, I didn't continue my negative sine and cosine wave far enough. I did one, and
gotcha.
I go, oh, there they intersect. So that's the height of the new
X. Right. That's right. And so it could be that that's a shifted position. And then with your decimal ratio conundrum. But the trick of this, do it this way. You have the accurate answer. So look at your formulation. Look at your code and see where you are that's off from that place. And when you notice that, you may find the absolute, work it back to your answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The same way you test it, if you were hitting it, you'd test it backwards. We'll use that test backwards to see where it is. Do you understand that you could then adjust your tangent, that ratio could even affect how you've gauged your tangent within the sine cosine configuration that could make you off by that amount? Okay? Time has nothing to do with it, but the interaction of the tangent in the smaller triangle very possibly could. And that could put you off by a third. Simply.
Yeah. Okay.
So work it backward that way, and once you get it to see it to where it works perfectly, then do it again with something else in that same window. If you're going to do the frequencies that way, do the same type of frequency. For example, if you do July 25th to July 26th, like, and you got it working and you figure it out and make it work, pick something else on that same date time frame. So you get your sea legs under you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a test run of a program before you blow the motherboard.
Of different currency pairs? Or?
Correct. Yes, do it with
okay.
different currency pairs and leave the tangents, your preset tangents. It's practicing in the same frequency because you know within that frequency what the mystery landscape or the new X value would be very close to. Okay?
Okay.
That'll help you. If you did it like the day before and the day after, purple, blue in Japan, that landscape changed forever. That X-axis changed forever vibrationally. Well, your pairs within like a day before and a day after that occurring would absolutely have an effect. And you could sort of, we're trying to eliminate as many possible variables so that you get comfortable with it, and then you'll be doing it in your sleep. I mean, you won't even use paper. You'll just gauge it. It's like times tables. You don't think about that. You don't have to have a lucky box for that. You just do it.
Right. Okay. So, still hung up on the intersections of the negative sign and cosine here. The reason why I didn't do them all the way back left is because I saw where they intersected, and I knew that there'd be more intersections inside the triangle in the peaks because the troughs were below the x-axis and nowhere near the triangle.
Very good, very good, and that's fine, but we'd say run them out, run them out, run them out, and double-check that particular amplitude, too, because it is very possible, you see, that you could have a frequency that would not always fall below your triangle and your troughs. And you're going, well, that's probably impractical. And we agree. But we'd say run them out just because you may find that you're in, but depending on where you've put your tangent, Chad, depending on where you have your second tangent, and you want to know how many points it is, because if you look at that, what you may find is it shifts that axis even higher, meaning that where that x-axis connects with the tangent may actually be outside the triangle. And then you've got to gauge it from your point, which would just about put you up and out by a third. But you can prove that by triangulating your small triangle. So you have enough information to calculate to prove where you're off and how far you're off. So basically, instead of your x-axis being at 0.9, with your dangling participle, the decimal points, then you actually could bump into it being 1.2 instead of 0.9. Well, if it's 1.2, you're right on the money then, are you not?
Mm-hmm.
See, but we're not telling you to superimpose it. We're telling you, since you know the correct answer, you can look at it close enough to see where you're off and by how much. Well, now you know that apparently your x-axis is off. Instead of 0.9, it should be about 1.2. Then you know you're going to be within a thousandth of a decimal point.
Okay.
And so that'll help you. Play with that so you get real good. But that's quite a coup on your part, landing within the epicenter aspect.
Landing within the epicenter of the triangle?
Calculating your epicenter, doing it from an epicenter capacity. That's very
good. It's good, you mean? Okay.
Yeah, not everyone does.
Okay.
But then that's why they call you number one.
Hmm. Okay, so my other question was, since I'm, in this case, working with a lot of decimal points in the 4X world,
yes.
Eyeballing perspective.
That only works in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah. So explain a way I can get a higher degree of precision.
Okay. Move the decimals all the way out and change your ratio of your graph.
So if it's 1.41807, move my decimals all the way behind the 7. So I've got 141807 dot.
Yep.
Okay, so then I'd require graph paper that has 141,000.
Yes, but no. Okay, if that's the case, guess what you could do? If you can make the distance between the two tangents have any meaning, why couldn't you make each block be 140,000 or whatever your number is, and then subdivide above that and adjust your ratio? You wouldn't have to have graph paper with 14 million blocks, but you'd only have to have 14 and then it broken down into much smaller scale. And you would do that by dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing to get to those points that get you there. Because if you can adjust, if you can super adjust the distance between the two tangents, you should be able to attach the value to the valuation of the blocks within the digital or the decimal ratio.
Right. Okay, so if I did this 141,807, if I made each block worth 14,180, then I'd have 10 blocks up. Okay, and then applying that to when I go to the B value, would I point plot the B value relative to the point I just plotted?
Whatever you do one, you got to do to them all. So we'd say look at all three values to see that you're going to come. You're going to find an integer that would work for all.
Based on a common denominator?
Yes. Because if you do that, then you're always going to end up with a whole block. But now, there's nothing wrong in your world. You know, if you can do this on your Lookie box, and you can change. You know, when you run up and run down your magnifier on your Lookie box screen, you can adjust that way. You know, like in a map, blowing it up and shooting it down. You could very easily do that way with your Lookie box. And then you wouldn't even have to do all that we were talking about. You could just go 14 million damn blocks, and it would count it for you.
Yeah. Okay, so if I find a common denominator between...
You won't need it. If you can just adjust the ratio of the graph size graph paper you're working with, like a map, blowing it up and bringing it in, if you could do that, you wouldn't even have to do all that other crap. You could just basically... use that, set it, and then blow it up to make the points work exactly. So each square would be identically the same based on the number. Then your integer would be 1. Well, all your integers are divisible by 1 if they're a whole number, aren't they?
Yeah, but if it's worth 1, then we're back to where I was in the beginning.
Not if you can use your computer to add that many blocks painlessly.
Now we're on the computer again. And last time I was advised not to engage the chip body in this triangulation.
Okay, then fine. That's fine. We're just saying if you live in the chip body, we're just talking about you could do that very thing and print that damn thing out and use a ruler to measure it. You could change your perspective. You could create your graph paper that would have that many damn little lines. They'd be very close together. But if you measured... That one line equal one quarter inch equals 10,000 bars, and you'd know that based on the pagination of how you printed it. You could just measure your blocks and give you a count.
Right.
See, and that makes it easy. They have it on a map. They have a legend that says 1 inch equals 100 miles.
Well, yeah.
If you did the same thing there, baby, you'd be right on it, right on it.
Okay, but the 1 inch equals, question mark, that question mark value.
That's where you would find your common integer.
Right. Okay. Common integer just between a and b, right? Because I'm only working on that
No, no, you should do
y-axis for
all,
those
you
two.
should, oh no, because see, there's your ratio. If you do it to one, you got to do it to them all, baby. You know that.
Right, because my squares have to stay squares and not
they
rectangles.
They have to stay square, exactly right. And because if you don't, what you're going to find is that your x-axis is eternally going to be way high or way low.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And by doing it that way, if you find, and play with it either way you want to, because it makes no difference. You're just doing this to get good at it. We're showing you how to do one push-up right, and then you keep doing push-ups, and then you'll be able to do them all kinds of different ways. But let's get you with one right first, and then we'll adjust, see? Then you can get fancy, as it were.
Right. Okay. So now when I'm working, when I'm using past 4x values to validate
yes.
my equation, do I have to go back and look at what Maybank was during that time period?
You do.
Yeah, okay.
So once you get some working data, keep it, then you can have much more to play with.
Mm-hmm.
See? You have much more to adjust to.
Okay. So when they gave me the Maybank rates 2 weeks ago, I'll go back and use that Maybank rate, and I'll work within that day that they gave me the rates.
Certainly.
Get the 4x values for that 24-hour period. Okay, good.
Certainly. And that just makes it simple on you. But you'll get fancy with it soon. You'll be on a list where they send it to you, an alert of every time it moves and, you know, all that kind of crap.
Yeah, okay. I'll just ask them to do that. That'll be easier.
Then it's just kind of like you're on their list.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when I'm actually plotting my sine and cosine waves, in one of my sessions, you mentioned something about a parabola. So, do you mean to use a parabola to plot the sine waves? No.
No, we were having the conversation went that you were trying to get that shift of amplitude.
Oh, okay.
And we were doing 1 pi, 2 pi, 3 pi, 4 pi, and we were drawing it like that you would plot a parabolic curve on a piece of graph paper to try to justify, to easily justify your plotting points.
Okay. All right, so it's just back to high school plotting of sine.
Pretty much, yeah.
Where I go. Yeah.
And that's where most people can't get it because they think this is too easy, and many times it is. Or is it, as they always told you, or you'd hear them telling other people, you're too smart by half. See, they overthink it, and then you can't think, well, it can't be that simple. Well, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, because think about it. The richest people that you know are not very brilliant, are they?
No.
Well, so goes the lesson.
Okay.
The rich ones hire the smart ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm gonna retire from the smart field.
Oh, yeah. There's no future in smart because you can never sustain it. See, it's unsustainable.
Yeah, I've got an inbox full of 911s for clients looking for somebody smart.
Of course. Now, that's good for business. That's good for business. Ain't no trouble with business, but... You know, look at how long you have to spend on those 911s. It's never a big thing. It's just 911 to them, not to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But it has started to eat into my... it's like I'm giving my best to them, and I haven't had a chance to work on triangulation enough.
Well, but it comes because, see, the fun of triangulation is once you get it, you shouldn't have to work it. That should be for your playtime.
Oh, of course. I know. I'm charting out my own apprehension of this at this point.
Uh huh. That's right. You're soothing your savage beast. It's
yeah,
the easiest way to say it. But you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Right. Okay.
And you remember the caution about getting drunk on your own liquor.
As that relates to
going stealth once you get it to work for you.
Oh, of course. I find it hard to talk people about anything anymore because it's
that serves you well. But once you figure it out, we suggest you better get with somebody. If not us, probably us. But if not, you get with somebody before you start storming the gates.
Oh yeah, I fully intend to have a session on.
We'll help. We'll help with direction.
Oh yeah.
To explain. Lucy, to give you some explaining on what really stealth is, because you know how invasive these little chip bodies can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm fully on that when I get to
okay.
that.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Very good. We'll help. We'll help. We promise. We'll help. Because, I mean, that'd be like a stick in the eye, take over the world, and then they sue you for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I find that it's a bit tedious to plot out the each point of where the wave is at for all the waves. And since numbers are angles, you know, there must be a way to do the plotting of the sine waves like visual geometrically rather than having to go, okay.
Well, I know, baby, but see, here's the thing. You have a visual bias. And you can do that, but until you successfully plot vibrational wavelengths on a flat, one-dimensional platform, and you get a bias toward that, then yes, you can. You'll streamline it. You'll make it easy. But you can't yet, so you can't. So do it, plot it, you can do it, and then, yes, you'll go, oh, well, this is always this, and this works out to that. Boom, 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 boom. And if you aren't that many angles or potential sine or cosines for the different angles that are possible within a triangle, you could actually have a little code to know exactly how the aperture applies and how many points it is.
How many
and that's
points?
Why, that's why JW does this stuff in his head, because he knows each angle, what that is, and what those radiuses are, and what those amplitudes would be. So then the only thing to calculate is how far it is from tangent to tangent, and he applies the time frame to those tangents. So, you see, it's just like knowing.
Yeah.
Once you've done it enough, it'll be, oh, you'll just plug it in. We said
okay.
You, we didn't say anybody else, but we said you finally would have your little program where it would already have everything already calculated, and you'd know what the amplitude is, and you'd know what that wavelength for that angle was, and you'd know what that count is instantly.
Yeah. Okay. So what I do now, you know, high school sine wave plotting, is I use the trigonometric table.
Fine.
And then as I'm running along my x-axis, I say, okay, here we are at 90 degrees. So at 90 degrees, it's always at 1, so it's at the full amplitude.
Yes.
And then I'll go like 45 degrees, and then that's the amplitude times 0.707. So then I go,
mm-hmm.
bang, draw another one. So, like, I could get crazy, and I could be doing a plot at every degree along the x-axis to get that degree of precision. That'll take me... That'll take me all day. So I was just...
No, it doesn't have to. Doesn't have to. It could. It'd be worth it. You wouldn't have to do it every day, would you?
Okay, I get it. So it's like, just do this once right, and that's...
If you do it once right, then you're right.
Okay, I get it. I get it. You're encouraging me to just go all the way to the most precise level of detail, you know, one time for once, rather than trying to fast forward through everything like in the chip
body. Well, fast forward is that'll make you a champion at horseshoes and hand grenades.
Okay. All right. So when I'm doing this hand drawing on paper, you mentioned that that's the creation of a fractal antenna before. Is that correct?
Certainly.
Okay, is it because I'm using like the graphite on the paper, and the graphite on the paper with the circles and the waves and the triangle is actually itself a graphite-based fractal antenna?
No. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Okay, let's go back. Okay, you know how your GPS works on your Goo, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay, since you know what that is, then you have an example already.
So, since I know the GPS on my iPhone, how it works, I know an example of a fractal antenna. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, wait, let's go back. Inside your cell phone, you have a fractal antenna.
Yes.
Now, that fractal antenna is gauged and set with parameters. And if you put you in the directions, like I want to go to the grocery store, and you don't know. Okay, the only way that that little looky box or peapod can tell you how to get to the grocery is unless it knows where you are in perspective of the grocery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's how it does it. That cell phone hits three towers. Makes no difference, just it hits three of the closest towers. And it measures the distance from each tower to your phone.
Yeah.
Which creates for the computer an epicenter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put in where you want to go to the grocery. It finds the direction to the grocery, and it'll even tell you how long it takes you and how far and which turns to make. But it'll even tell you how long it'll take you to get there. You choose your route. Okay, the way that works is it knows where you are. It finds you.
Correct.
But then the rules of a fractal. Now, what you're doing on a piece of paper is exactly the same thing when you set your epicenter that sets the amplitude within the new mystery landscape, a future event that you're not sure yet. It can calculate accurately the steps that it takes to get you to the grocery. Now, when you get to the grocery, you'll know you're at the grocery. When you get to A2 and then 4X says A2 was that, then you'll know you're at the grocery and you'll be in the cabbage.
Okay, so drawing triangulation out on paper is about knowing as I run through the process.
Well, you set your epicenter because now you have determined the amplitude of each individual angle because now you have the radiuses
mm-hmm.
to create those circles from, and you don't have to draw them out because you're bright enough to know that. But if you didn't, you could, and it's where those three points meet is where your epicenter is.
Okay. And besides using that epicenter to find the radiuses of the three points, is there another use for the epicenter after that?
Yes. The only mystery trebler in this entire equation is guess what?
The rhombic dodecahedron?
Well, good, and that would be it. But the trebler of the rhombic dodecahedron is you.
Oh, so I'm the only unknown, you mean?
You are the only unknown. Because, you see, let's say you work out your formula and you know what it is. Okay? You could go the opposite way and go way short to such a degree that you literally change the X value and bring that price down.
Okay.
All right, now let's do a call. You know calls and puts, right?
Yeah.
If you know something to go long on, okay, if you knew 911 was going to take place, you'd know to buy short on Wall Street the day after.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, that's a fractal application. So that's saying now. But of course, now in your mind, you're going, well, if I knew 911 was going to take place, I could change the outcome of 911, and then by God, I'd go long, because you know the stock market's going to go up 200 points if this crisis was averted.
Yeah.
Now that knowing is a fractal application that shifts vibration due to you. We don't want to say interfering, but we will say intervening.
Okay, intervening rather than interfering. Okay.
All right, you watched a movie called Jumper.
Yeah.
They couldn't jump unless they had a picture.
Yeah.
If they couldn't get a picture in their mind, they couldn't jump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their mind got so crowded with everywhere they had been that they almost had to have a photo to get there. Otherwise,
yeah,
they couldn't. All right, now then they got a place. Once they got to doing that, the Samuel Jacksons of the world figured out a way to follow that vibration, and they could chase you through your jump.
Yeah.
All right. Then they got good. They started adding electromagnetic frequency to treble the wave or the frequency to the point where it could grab you, so you, even with a picture, was not allowed to jump again by pinning you within an electromagnetic resistor.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the little box that they'd pop through to freeze it?
Yep.
And everything was glimmery? Okay, that's what we're talking about kind of here. But now, of course, that's the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer version of this process, obviously. You know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But look what happened. The trebler was when he almost moved the entire apartment or the apartment building. See, because they could jump objects. Well, once he started jumping, almost moving the building or jumping the building, that's when it got to be serious. Well, the only way that could be was because of him, the trebler, that shifted that vibrational coincidence. So once you get a little good at this, a little good, you don't have to be real good, just a little good at this, you'll find that you have the ability and capacity to single strand by strand by strand. Like you said, it'll take me all damn day to count this shit. Well, yes, but you only have to do it once. Because once you find how fine those shifts of vibration have an effect, 30 points off by just a little estimation, once you get that just fine-tuned just a little bit, all right, we got it this way. You do computers.
Yep.
Right? You know computers, and you know it's a language, and you know it is 0 and 1.
Right.
What you're talking about calculating right here is the distance between 0 and 1.
Okay, so, and what's the trebler in the 0 and 1 paradigm?
You set the trebler, that you are the trebler. Do you realize that you could do 0.5 in computer language, but the computer language only knows ones and zeros? But if you adjust that perspective, you can get 1 to equal 100 million values between 0 and 1. That's what's wrong with your regular computing to now, and that's why you're going to have to go to diamond memory drives.
Okay, why? Because they only have like 128-bit right now, so the distance between 1 and 0 is limited to that set of numbers?
That's one step, but there are 10 million possible steps between 0 and 1.
Okay, and you're saying that 10 million is so limited that...
they don't count it at all. It's either a 0 or it's a 1.
Oh, okay, because they're not taking all the 10 million steps between 0 and 1.
The best computer that you got right now, the best it can do is 3 times 5 equals 15. That's it. It can't do more than that.
You mean because it has to work with whole integers?
It must be whole integers, and there are more possibilities, even between 0 and 1, and it can't calculate. It's either 0 or it's 1.
Okay, so you're saying because in order for a computer to, let's say, multiply 3 times, you know, 0.0125, it has to work with each one of the individual integers in the 0.0015. Like, it
yeah,
can't
but
just...
those are placeholders, and it can do that. It runs through it. That's not what we're talking about. When you get a computer, okay, let's say, okay. All right, okay, here we go. If you could get a computer to calculate, if you got up and took one step,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if you could calculate every other possibility within that one step, like a longer step, a shorter step, or every step between the step, a baby step, back up a step, take a step to the left, swagger a little bit, take the step, fall down, every other possibility that is possible, if it could calculate that, then you'd have a supercomputer.
But isn't that what they're calling quantum computers?
No, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. Quantum computers can divide 15 divided by 3 equals 5. You don't have the space holders for every possibility, but yet so your brain, not your mind, your brain would be a quantum supercomputer because it does 100 million computations for you to go take a piss.
Yeah, right. So I'd be sitting here and thinking about, you know, taking a walk, and I go, okay, I could take a walk and go down that street, or I could go down
the other street. Wait, you can't do it that yet. First of all, you got to say, okay, am I through with my chores? Have I done my work? Is Angela going to come too? Are we going to have something to eat on the way? Should I take money to get us ice cream? Wouldn't that be fun? Is it raining? Is it going to rain? May it rain? If it rains, what do I do? Take a jacket? Don't take a jacket? Do I want a slicker? How long are we going to be gone? Are we going to be gone too long? Is there things I have to do? No, I can't go. I have to make this call. Oh, I can make this call now and then clear my schedule and then enjoy my day. You got to do all that shit before you ever get up. Then you got to consider, is walking possible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you go, well, not if I chop off my leg. And then you could.
So the human, you said the human brain is a supercomputer because it's running all those operations of should I take
operations.
A jacket?
Operations. And we don't call, you are right. It is an operation, but we call it computation. Possibility.
Right.
And okay.
yeah.
And what we're telling you, different than we tell anybody else, what we're telling you is that you, with this knowing that you're working out fetching because you're going to have to spend a day counting damn lines one day, you would be able to program a diamond carbon-based quantum supercomputer.
And that would that take the place of the computation that's going on in my mind?
It could.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to know the speed?
Yes.
20 million terabytes.
20 million terabytes. So, yeah. So tera, peta, and zeta byte. 20 zeta.
Mm-hmm. See, that's not known.
Okay.
But that would do. That would tell you how fast your hair is growing and where you want it to grow. That would tell you where sound is originating from before a sound is heard.
And is that because, is it even really computing, or is it merely feeling frequency changes?
No, it is registering all frequency capacity.
Okay, it's registering all frequency capacity, and obviously it's honing in on certain frequencies within all those possibilities to bring notice to them.
Because you took a day and counted little lines.
Okay.
Once.
Mm-hmm. God, yeah. Okay.
Now you want a little extracurricular activity, bless God. There's your little something to put in your pipe and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Because the infrastructure's already there.
Really?
I mean, isn't it cool?
You're talking about diamond carbon base, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't it cool that now the fruit company's got more money than the United States federal government?
Yeah.
You got that, right?
Yeah. Because they're offering this, not this diamond level, but they're offering computation abilities?
Well, no, they're stupid. Jobs needs to get one.
Jobs needs to get a job, is that what you mean?
Yeah. He's fucking up, and they got more money than the United States government.
So you're saying that Apple's having more money than the U.S. government is?
Apple today has more cash money than the United States federal government.
Okay, and explain...
That was in the headlines today, Chad.
Okay, but Ion, explain...
Oh, it was? Damn, we thought we were telling you something. Sorry.
And you're saying that's merely because Jobs is stupid?
Yeah.
Because, and when you say stupid, you mean because he's not thinking.
That's right. Have you seen some of them stupid fucking apps?
Yeah.
They do it so you can make funny noises on your piss pod.
Yeah. The fart app and all that kind of thing.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely stupendous.
You don't mean he's great because he's never minding. You mean the other kind of stupid non-thinking rather than intelligent non-thinking.
Well, we aren't impressed with his thinking.
Oh, so you're bringing Jobs up as an example, say. So if Jobs can stupidly have more money than the U.S. government... One with a diamond carbon based process.
Changes everything.
Okay.
You know,
everything.
It's McLuhan's point. If it's obsolete, it works. Dobbs is obsolete. Therefore, he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that won't hold. That won't last. You know, they already have in the damn people, the past presidents from Mexico, giving advice on the lucky box on how to run their company, how to run their country in the United States. Now that's rich, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
That's rich.
Okay, so Ion, explain the effect that setting up a diamond carbon-based processor would have on the Jobs strata.
Put their dick in the dirt.
Mm.
The only perfect program, as you know, is an obsolete one.
So you're saying like their fart application is obsolete yet is so perfect then?
Well, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Atari wasn't until no one played it anymore. Now that's called a perfect program. It's perfect. Or you remember Pong back in your day?
Yeah.
That in your world is a perfect program.
Okay, it's define obsolete. Perfect in this context.
Obsolete.
And then, okay, so it just keeps referring back to obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning
run
that it's horseshoes
and
You mean when it's obsolete, it's horseshoes and hand grenades?
Yep, and then you retrieve it into something else. And because of what you know now, no more, but what you know now, you singularly have enough information to create a vortex that would bring you to the singularity to show them, mirror back to them, come on over here. And so goes the lesson.
When you say them, who are you talking about?
The fuckers who want your stuff.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. It's like a carrot on a stick.
Well, isn't that what the singularity is?
So, yeah, but I always thought
that... In a black hole, a singularity, that's the carrot on the stick. That gets you beyond the event horizon to the singularity.
Right, but
then your new computer would calculate that for you, wouldn't it?
Right, but am I holding the carrot on the stick, or am I moving towards it?
You are the singularity.
Okay, but it sounded like you said the carrot on the stick is the singularity.
And well, and the difference of that would be?
I'm asking you the difference between the two.
Well, if you built that damn computer, that'd be its first question. Am I the carrot on the stick, or am I holding the carrot on the stick? And your little computer, your little lucky box could tell you. There
so
you
it
go.
Would choose, but it would choose one or the other, or it would just give me all the possibilities?
No. It would calculate every possibility that is and give you the answer.
Okay, but would it say you're the carrot on the stick? Or would it say...
you're holding the carrot on the stick.
Okay, but would it say you're holding the carrot on the stick from your position you're at now? If you move
well,
to a different...
There is no now. There is no now. The now is all of that.
Okay.
You are the singularity. I mean, don't you think it's odd that we refer to you as number one? It's not because you were first.
Well, then explain the reason for calling me number one.
Because you're the singularity.
I'm the singularity, which you're saying is not different from holding the carrot on the stick.
Correct.
So you're saying that wherever I take this...
Okay,
so wherever I take this, it'll be. Okay, I get it.
So now you're going to give a definition for a new word, arness.
Arness?
Arness.
Spell that, please.
A-R-E-N-E-S-S.
Oh, R...
It's not is, it's arness.
Okay, arness.
Arness is inclusive of every other possibility. Is you is or is you ain't. Well, that's the degree of arness that you've achieved.
And is that arness as in several Chads are?
There are multiples of you, certainly.
Okay, is this a different, more encompassing dynamic of...
There is. When you can start getting them to working together for you, they can start taking care of your 91111s.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, that's already occurring because you look and you got a bunch of shit, and the next thing you know, bip, 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 and then they're all done. And you're like, well, cool, that should have taken 2 days, and I did it in a couple hours.
Well, not only that, but I'm noticing lately that, I'll get some emails in the middle of the night or something about some 911s, and then I'll look at them before I go to bed and just be like, I don't feel like dealing with this right now. And I'll get up, and some of them will be resolved already.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, they wouldn't otherwise. But see, you're picking and choosing your outcomes, and that's good.
Is that
but
like choosing, as in choosing my battles? That.
No. Well, you could call it that, but you don't even battle with them. Just figure out what you want to do, and then you do that. You got it. You've done this enough. You've gone through some contrast, some ins and outs, ups and downs. You got on the roller coaster, you went, you came back, you just took it for face value, for rote, as we said it. No question. And the sumbitch is working out pretty good for us so far, huh?
Yeah. There's a little
good
contrast this last few days about, like, a lot of 911s and it's starting to become a bit of a nuisance.
Well, don't use that. See them 911s as paydays. If you could look at it that way, that'd help you. Because you're like, well, this is cool because this 911 means that they can't do this without me. Well, the answer is they really can't. Well, that certainly helps contract-wise, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So it's not a problem.
It's
not a problem because that's why they give you the 911 because you always handle it.
So if I get up and there's 911s in my inbox and I want to,
that means that you're good. That means you're on the right path.
I'm on the right path, right? But what if I wake up and I want to go to the beach that day and I don't feel like dealing with 911s, you know?
Then let one of the other ones of you work it out, because we promise you, when you're sitting there doing 911s, everybody, all the rest of you are at the damn beach.
So just leave it in the inbox and go to the beach, and the other ones will handle it? Or is there an activator that has to be done?
You are the trebler. Just like in your triangulation, you are the trebler. Because, see, once you figure out where you are, then you can get anywhere. And all you're doing here, and it's for such a day as this. And just so you know, we've been fucking waiting on you, by the way, to catch up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all right, because you have eternity, so there's no hurry. There's no rush. But, geez Louise, you know, how many ways can you paint a rabbit? It's like, this is enough. Come on, let's go. And you got that, and you allowed that to be, and it is, and blah, 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 blah. So, great, as the story goes. Great, okay? Now, once you come to that conclusion, which you are or have, now, are we affecting, we non-physical, because that's what you're connected to, the secret to your success is your ability to get out of your mind. That's why you see things others can't see. You can see breaking code that others can't see.
Yep.
At a glance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, other people, you know, show Bob how you do that. That'll be a fool's errand.
Yeah, well, I don't know how. I don't even know how I do it. I just
well,
can't,
exactly.
I can't miss it.
Exactly. That's the point. That's what we're talking. Good. Hip, hooray, hip, hip, hooray. Happy days are here again. Good. You don't, the hows, these degrees of separation, you have all but eliminated them. And that's good. Because every time you start using a degree of separation, you are going to find out what that is. When you say, how can I figure this out? You're going to go through every choice and opportunity that is till you know how. Well, that's about as significant as praying for patience. Don't pray for patience. Don't ask for patience, because then you got to get thrown in the shit to get patient about it.
Yeah. Okay. So if I wake up and it's more interesting to go to the beach and let one of the other chats sort out the 911s,
mm-hmm.
So you're saying, you know, I should create, since I'm the trebler, I should create some kind of activator to let myself know that that's what is being wrought.
Of course.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes, but do not give that a bunch of attention, because it's already working good for you now. You have a bunch of them. You don't want to deal with it now. You get up and many of them are done or corrected already. So don't make a big to-do about what is it that I think. I hold my hands up and go, you know, you can do all that crap. Well, you do that, and then you're just going to point out that you can't reach your other yous.
Mm-hmm.
So let it flow. Now, do not be... Don't get drunk on your own liquor. You'll take some of your 911 calls if they're interesting. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. If I see them and I go, okay, well, that one's easy.
Yeah, let's knock
bang,
this out. Let's knock,
knock
this
it
bang,
out.
Bang. That's right. Good,
the
confounding, good.
The confounding ones where, you know.
Well, but there haven't been any ones of those yet. See, that's the thing that's so ridiculous. You say the confounding ones. You've not had a confounding one yet.
Okay, so okay, it's not exactly confounding. It's more like that one doesn't.
It
rub
takes action.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, never take an action till it's the fastest path to your joy. But you kind of do that already. And sometimes when you get tangled up in something, you got to write a bunch of code and you got to look at a bunch of shit, and you're doing something nobody else can do. And you were almost doing that when you left out of that world the first time, you see, and you found yourself back there. Now you enjoy it. So good. We think that's wonderful. Fabulous.
Well, it's not exactly the same. It's been redefined considerably. For one,
by whom? You.
Yeah.
Well, c'est la guerre. So you adjust as you want to adjust. But the way you were able to adjust was by letting go.
Exactly. So if I see 911s in my inbox that at that moment appear to require action, and I want to go to the beach, I'm going to close the computer and go to the beach knowing that other chads will take care of those ones, just like I did when I left my job. Just
correct. And that works because you didn't care.
Because there's no dog in the fight, so.
There's no dog in the fight, that's right. And sometimes you'll pick at it and look at it and go, wait, this is pretty cool. Okay, yeah, I got this. And so you handle it. So don't throw it away. This time we're not saying throw. Last time we said get out of it, get out, go. And you went.
Right, but I'm also in a new place from where I was then, because then I would just drop it like a hot potato. Now it's like, okay, I want to slow, you know, carefully peel away the layers of the onion.
To see how deep the bruise is on
yeah.
the onion, rather
exactly.
than throwing the whole onion out. That's good. That's
yeah.
serving you. That's very appropriate and good. Good, 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 good. Because here's what you've done. Finally, you've been able to take the blinders off completely in your full power.
Mm-hmm.
See, Chad, you're scary.
Scary?
You're scary. Do you know why you're scary? You don't even know how much power you have. And yet you're not afraid to wield it at all.
Okay.
And that's good. Don't change a thing. But we're watching. We're on it. We're on it like a bad habit, because that's the issue.
So...
good.
Back
now.
To the... okay, so back in triangulation, working the triangulation formula, that factor that is used, where Maybank is used in the triangulation of Forex values. Let's take it out of Forex for a moment and move over to, let's say, the world of horse racing, betting on
okay.
horse races.
Okay.
So what? Give me an example of a value I would use in place of Maybank for a future value on horse races.
Oh, okay. Then you would look, you would find horses
mm-hmm.
that would be from a day ahead
mm-hmm.
and find out, say, the fastest horse. There's always whoever, like who won the Kentucky Derby or the Triple Crown in U.S. horse racing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a standard. That time run on a specific track is a standard. See what that track standard is a day before.
A day before.
Go to the Far East to a different time zone and see what that average run is.
Okay, so I'd pick a track in Malaysia, let's say.
Well, yeah.
What?
Somewhere over there, yes.
Okay, not Malaysia, but somewhere over there.
Yeah.
And do you recommend a country?
No, there's just not one in Malaysia.
Oh, okay. So I pick a track somewhere over there, and I'd get the standard.
What the fastest horse ran.
For what the fastest horse ran. And then
that becomes your Maybank rate.
Okay. When I'm dealing with Maybank rates, I want to get it down to the degree for the amount of time that I've got between my tangents. So
yep.
In the case of using the fastest horse, do I take that value and find a way to divide it or apply it into my tangent space?
That would be your Maybank rate. You see, let's say you're trying to triangulate a horse race in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's a mile track.
Yeah.
All right. You'd find an Asian or in that time zone mile track race and use that speed, the fastest speed. That'll be your Maybank rate for your race in the States, as long as the amount run, the length of the run, is the same.
Okay, so that's key, that the length of the run and the track is the same.
Do. And they'll do that in furlongs, of course.
Okay. So, if the race is... so, when I'm triangulating, and I'm doing it over span of time, and the B1A1 tangent is 4 days from now, so the race is 4 days from now. So, 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks, and then B1A1 tangent. Do I have to apply the 4 days into
no,
the
No, you might look
horse?
At, you might do the separation, because see, a horse race really doesn't have to do with time, it's just who's fastest.
Yeah, so what would the
fastest
separation
mean? Fastest doesn't mean time. So we might say, if there are 10 horses running, it's up to 10 horses that'll be the first one.
It's up to 10 horses that'll be the first one. Which one
out of the 10, only one's going to win on the
right,
note.
So I want to find the first.
So if you're talking, you're not talking about 10 days, you're talking about 10 horses. So move your tangent within the 10, and instead of doing it a span of time, it's going to be one race and somebody's going to win, do it 10 horses, 10 blocks.
Well, that's interesting, because now that whole false premise of time application and triangulation is even removed, and I can arbitrarily replace it with horses.
Absolutely, and that's how JW did Rough Rice.
Okay.
Because it had nothing to do with time. It had to do with the value of rice, rough
mm-hmm.
rice.
Right.
Which normally was never even a commodity listed, and now all of a sudden it's the hottest thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden.
Okay.
It's going up more than gold.
Right. So, and if I was doing weather, if I wanted to know the weather.
Do the barometric pressure over there. Now you know what the future is.
Okay, but when dealing with weather, I wouldn't be using horses. I'd be using days between the two tangents.
No, not necessarily. You'd be triangulating the barometric pressure, because that's how you gauge weather.
Oh, so you're saying, okay, I thought you might use the barometric pressure over there as the Maybank.
Well, you just need anything that's a day ahead. It makes no difference what it is.
Okay. Anything that's a day ahead, okay.
Because that gives you a future value, and that future value affects triangulation. Well, frequency,
mm-hmm.
and how you contrive the overlapping between frequency and application. You could do it with emotion, with EEGs.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that really gets rid of time, because then you're measuring what an EEG is, what they say a normal EEG is in Kuala Lumpur.
Right.
That's an EEG from a future.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure, same way. Now, you want to have some fun, then you're going to start seeing some shifts and it's changing. Okay, go ahead, Matt. That's a segue for your next thing. Go ahead.
So you're saying, do you mean to tell me that I could change my blood pressure using triangulation?
You already have.
I already have done it with triangulation?
You certainly have.
But I didn't do triangulation on my body vital fluids.
It makes no difference.
Well, what good is an outcome if it wasn't the outcome that I sat down to triangulate?
Well, how the fuck did you get where you are now that you didn't know you would get to then?
Yeah, good point. So, no, I get it now. It's like, if it's on my list of things that I feel like I would like to experience, sometimes those things just all get knocked off the list and get done without me even having to sit down and work them out.
Well, of course, baby, of course, that's right. And because you're so fluid with it, meaning you don't mind.
Yeah.
See, you don't never mind, you just don't mind. And that's
mm-hmm.
good. That's good. Because it's the cleanest way to clear. And you never get bogged down and fucked up and messed up on whatever it is. You grab a hold of it, you shake it good, and you turn it loose. And if it stays, it stays. If it goes, it goes. Pays the same. Move on down the road. That tenacity or tenacious representation is what moves you past the event horizon, which is what we've been fetching because it took you so long to get to there. But that's okay, because we knew then that this now was, and it all hooked up when Bob's bringing in his new civilization and interest rates are going to go through the roof and lots of things are spinning. And gold goes up $20, and platinum goes down $12, and that platinum and gold's going to be the same price pretty soon, and on 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 and on. And on. It's just kind of great fun. And then for you to sit up and bring in the other aspect of a portion of Dobby's world that he has no interest in even engaging. He'll talk to you about it, but then Bob will talk to most anybody. But you're interesting to talk to about it because you can develop it from the aspect from, well, it's a scary statement, maybe the scariest statement we ever made, but you actually kind of get Bob.
Yeah,
we're
that's
nervous.
Scary.
We're
yeah.
nervous. We're nervous. We're nervous. But yet, he stays at a level that you get it, meaning you can apply it. You don't always know it, but you can apply it. And it served you well, you see. And that's the point. So, in that arena, it certainly fits. And now that you've actually opened yourself up to a wide open non-physical, we used to say you ain't seen nothing yet. And now we say you're fixing to see what you've been looking for.
Mm.
Certainly makes a difference, doesn't it?
Indeed.
It'll keep the lead in your pencil.
Okay.